How do you guys like surprises? Yeah, no?
Love them?
Giving them or getting them? Aha! Aha!
Love giving.
You love giving them? Yeah, you guys, some way? Yeah, giving them is a little more fun than getting them. I don't know. But I struggle. There's very few gifts, if I get them too early, that make it till the birthday, the anniversary, the Christmas. Isn't that true? Yeah. Yeah. But that's okay.
I've been enjoying my Kindle for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, it was a Christmas gift. It became an anniversary gift. And then it was like, hey, it's Thursday. Enjoy. So, yeah, like I said, I wonder if your answer changes when you aren't the one being surprised. It's someone else, right? Sometimes because it's, you know. And I suppose my answer would be, what kind of surprise is it? A good one, a bad one, or simply just something unexpected? Every Sunday we gather here to worship God, and we worship in song and in scripture reading and learning. We gather to collect and share our offerings and to pray. We lift up prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, and prayers of supplication, which is just a churchy word of saying that we acknowledge who God is, we thank him for things, and we ask him for things, to do things. That's supplication. And if we're honest, sometimes we're surprised by the way that God answers our prayers. And when we are really being honest, we admit that we get a little uncomfortable with some of the aspects of the answer, the how he answered, the particularly the when the answer comes. We say that God works in mysterious ways, and we quote scripture that says his ways are not our own, and to trust in the Lord and not to lean on or rely on our own understanding. And perhaps we can draw on wisdom like this when God's answer surprises us, even though we are not surprised that God does, in fact, answer. And as we gather on the second Sunday of Advent, we explore the profound theme of love. Love is the underlying premise of the Bible. God's love for us is the divine thread that weaves throughout its pages. It's revealed, sometimes subtly, in its promises, in God's commandments, it's in its prayers, and the history that it records. This morning, we're going to go to open our Bibles. We're going to open our Bibles and look at Christ's birth from the perspective on the unexpected ways that God showed his love. Not just a surprise for the characters whose names we know, but for the world, because these are long, everlasting stories of love that resound with us today. Do a little bit of reading for you this morning. It's from Luke 1, 5 through 7, and then 11 through 18. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Surprise. Verse 11. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many to the people of Israel, to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents up to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. This is a picture, because we know what happens, right? John, who baptized Jesus and was at the start of that ministry. Surprise, you know, I've heard your prayers. I'm going to answer it. You're going to have a son. And not only a son, he's going to be wired for me, and he's going to do great things. So our journey begins this morning with a faithful priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And as I read, Zechariah was serving in the temple when an angel Gabriel appeared, surprising him with a message from God. The command was unexpected, for they were to become parents at an old age, and their son, John the Baptist, would prepare the way for the Messiah. God's commands often come to us in unexpected ways and unexpected times. Just as Zechariah and Elizabeth received a surprise command, they too may encounter God's instructions that challenge our, or we too may encounter God's instructions that challenge our understanding and stretch our faith. It is in these moments that love calls us to trust in God's divine plan, even when we cannot comprehend the intricacies of his design. From Luke 1, 26 through 38, we meet, we get to meet Mary. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, right? What kind of surprise is this? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Mary's answer was this, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. Continuing our journey, we encounter this expected turn in the story of love, the announcement to Mary. We witness the angel Gabriel surprising Mary with the news that she, a young virgin, would conceive and bear the Son of God. Mary's initial confusion and fear gives way to a profound surrender to God's plan, exemplifying a love that transcends human comprehension. How can this be? God's love often surprises us by inviting us to participate in his divine purpose. Mary's humble response teaches us the importance of yielding to God's will, even when it appears unconventional or challenging. Love beckons to say yes to God's unexpected invitation, trusting that his plans are greater than our own. Next, we meet her fiancé from Matthew 1, 18 through 24. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had mind to divorce her quietly. Now think about this. Think about this. You're engaged and your wife is pregnant, and her story is the angel came and said, this is God's child, right? And he loves her, respects her. I'm sure, you know, there's some question in there. So he decides to do the right thing by the law. I will divorce her, but I'm not going to disgrace her. I'm not going to point her out. We're just going to take care of this. And then it says, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill that the Lord had said through the prophet. This is the quote from the First Testament. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. It's a scene from the video that we sang with the beginning of worship service, right? Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, experienced the surprising nature of God's plan. We learn that Joseph, upon discovering Mary's pregnancy, was planning to divorce her quietly. However, an angel appeared to him in a dream, revealing God's extraordinary plan and calling him to embrace a role that defied societal norms. God's love often leads us down paths that defy human's understanding. Joseph's willingness to trust God's surprising plan demonstrated the sacrificial aspect of love, a love that willingly accepts challenges and embraces the unconventional for the sake of God's greater purpose. Love, in its truest form, is willing to set aside personal expectations for the sake of God's redemptive plan. We know the story of the shepherds. A lot of hymns about those or carols about them. So from Luke 2, 8 through 20, you know this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. I can't do it in my Linus voice, but that's what I always hear when I read this, right? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I love that. They didn't just go keep it for themselves. They went and told everybody. And we come back to Mary. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. As we approach the birth of Jesus, we come to the story of the shepherds, an unexpected audience for the announcements of Messiah's arrival. The shepherds receive this angelic proclamation, guiding them to the humble manger where they find the Savior of the world wrapped in swaddling cloths. God's love surprises us by extending to the lowly and the marginalized, the common. The shepherds represent the ordinary and the overlooked, becoming witnesses to the extraordinary. Love invites us to be open to divine surprises in unexpected places and people. It teaches us to recognize the presence of God in the humble and ordinary moments of life. Last, we find the three kings, the Magi, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. This is a threat, right? This is a threat to his kingship. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." And again, it's quoting First Testament scripture. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Now then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." In my mind, there's some air quotes. "So I may go and worship him." I'm not sure that Herod's intent was very noble. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know, as the nativity scene unfolds further with the arrival of the wise men, the Magi, guided by a star, journey from distant land to worship the new king as they had been told. Their pursuit of wisdom leads them to an unexpected encounter with the source of all wisdom and love. Now, God's love often surprises us by drawing seekers from diverse backgrounds into his redemptive story. The wise men's journey teaches us that love transcends cultural and societal boundaries. As we embrace the Advent season, let us be seekers of divine wisdom, recognizing that love invites us to approach God with open hearts and minds. Now, we know the importance of the birth comes from who he is and what he would do. So we can't talk about Christmas and its importance without considering the resurrection. Luke 24, 1 through 6. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed white lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Surprise. Our journey through the surprising nature of God's love would be incomplete without acknowledging the ultimate revelation, the resurrection. The empty tomb, an unexpected and astonishing sight that defied human logic. Where could he have gone? The women who arrived at the tomb were greeted by angels who proclaimed the good news. Jesus had risen. The resurrection is the pinnacle of God's surprising love. It is a love that conquers death and offers eternal life. The empty tomb is a testament to the unsearchable depths of God's love, surpassing our expectations and transforming our understanding of what's possible. Love, in its most profound sense, surprises us with the total victory over sin and death. And we know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." For God so loved the world that he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What kind of love God must have and what to have done something like this for the world that doesn't deserve it? Out of ignorance, we may not be surprised, right? We don't know. People don't know. We don't. It's Christmas. It's Easter. Okay, whatever. But as we consider what happened to Jesus, what he went through, the physical torture and abuse that he went through in that week before the crucifixion, the horrible death that is the crucifixion itself. So we consider that and consider as a life sacrifice for others. We may be a little surprised. Why would God do that for us? Why would he put his own Son through that? But then we know the depths of God the Father. And then we're not surprised by this at all. He loves us that much. He loves you that much. Now, as we prepare for our time of communion, let's reflect on the lives of Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. Let's think about their perspective and their story and the witness of the empty tomb. Their stories reveal a God whose love knows no bounds, a love that surprises us with unexpected commands, plans, and blessings. And then I invite you to ask God to surprise you in some powerful way that helps you understand and accept just how much you are loved. May this Advent season be a time of profound revelation as we open our hearts to the surprising love of God. Let us embrace his commands with trust. Let's surrender to his plans with humility and recognize his blessings in both ordinary and extraordinary moments of our life. May the surprising love of God transform us, making us vessels of his love in a world that desperately needs to experience the unexpected and transformative power of divine love. Let's make that our prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, whether we enjoy, like, or fear surprises, we hear something resounding in each of these encounters with your angels who just come to deliver good news and your instructions. They're all terrified. They're all afraid. And the first words are, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." Lord, we are surprised by things we don't know, understand, and they make us uncomfortable. Yet you come with the surprise and the power in your first words to us, to, "It's okay. I love you." Lord, as we continue through this Advent season, preparing for the arrival of your Son, Jesus Christ, and help us to allow ourselves to be surprised by the simple joys, the simple pleasures, and the opportunities. Let us, like the shepherds, not just experience it, but that run and tell everybody joyfully what we've seen, heard, and know. And the most basic of that is that we are all loved so much that God would sacrifice his Son so that we can have conversations with him like this now. Let us never forget the power of that. Let us never take it for granted. And let us never stop being appreciative of the hope that we have. It's in His name we pray. Amen.